Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, soon to be Liberty State. I want to stop for a second. I want you to think about that. I want you to ask yourself this question. Is it easier to remodel the whole house or to build a new one? And those of you that are in construction know the answer to that and can instruct others on it. Think about it. Is it easier to build something new? I think yes. And that's the whole point behind Liberty State. Going to be in Clayton, Washington tomorrow, just north of Spokane, at Clayton County Fairground, or Clayton Fairgrounds. And I'm going to be giving a Liberty State presentation with some new information on it, actually, as well. So look forward to seeing everybody up there. And thank you to everybody that has been sending all the positive notes of encouragement and all the support toward Liberty State. It's been phenomenal. Well, we're brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and not ending in prayer, but moving to action. It's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means everything that is under Jesus' feet is under our feet if we're abiding in him and him in us. I want to stop there as well, talk just a little bit about honest confession and repentance. Talk to a lot of people who will talk about their testimony, talk about things that they're, you know, that are in their lives. And there's a difference between people who talk about things that are happening to them. Instead of confessing the actual evil inside of them, their actions, their thoughts, but they're talking about things that are happening to them instead of what in them needs to be confessed. And I think it's important for Christians today because we can't get caught up in everything that happens to us, because God's going to give us tons of opportunities, whether we acknowledge it's an opportunity or not. And we need to keep our head up and keep charging forward. It's important. It's important to do self-reflection. It's important to go into that quiet place, as I talked about on the last show. But the true confession has to be what is inside me, not what's happening to me. I hope everyone understands the difference. Let me give you an example. Somebody says, well, so-and-so did this to me the other day, and I repented of the thought in my heart. Well, what's inside of you that is causing you to think that way? And that's the difference. Now, what's happening to you from the outside? And that really moves people forward in maturity, spiritual maturity. Another point is that certain people have been given a measure of grace in their respective ministry that Jesus has called them to. And sometimes we just shove that aside as, oh, that's not the right way to do it, or I wouldn't do it that way. But God's given that person a measure of grace in their ministry. And we need to respect that. Inside the Christian body, we need to respect that and recognize that certain people have been given a message to say that's going to impact certain people. Might not impact you. Might impact you the wrong way sometimes. I don't know. But that measure of grace has been given to them. We need to acknowledge it. Now, that's not to say if somebody's advocating sin or advocating something that is clearly unbiblical. Obviously, we're supposed to confront that. We're supposed to clean up our own ranks. We're supposed to do Matthew 18. And so few people do Matthew 18. So people don't even realize that Matthew 18 is different than actually slandering elders in the church, and how you deal with the two is different. And just read Timothy, Titus, Matthew 18. You'll get filled in. But the fact of the matter is that today there are certain churches who refuse to do discipline, even though people in their ranks are slandering other people. And that's just as bad as not giving grace to people who have been given a specific measure of grace in their specific ministry. We've got to have the balance, both. It's important. Now, apparently, a story has broke that I said was going to happen last week. Apparently, they had to wait a week for it. But as we're doing the show, I'm going to pull it up and I'll try to talk about it at the end. It's a pretty significant story, and I think something we need to talk about. All right. That brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. And on the international front, coming out of the Middle East, Debka file. Marines are now drilling. This is U.S. Marines. And it includes the Navy and the Air Force as well. They're drilling and have launched a war game in Djibouti off the Horn of Africa about unblocking the Strait of Hormuz. So they are drilling in the event the United States is going to have to take on the Iranians in the Gulf of Hormuz. You're not seeing this on mainstream media, but 4,500 troops of the 13th Marine Expeditionary Unit and others participated in this. You can see it on Debka file. That should be a sign to us of escalating tensions. Now, this is after Iranian spies and two were caught here in the United States of America. A network was busted. A lot of people saying, hey, look, this is the tip of the iceberg. And that's the Iranian side, okay? The Muslim Brotherhood side, which everybody seems to sweep under the rug, you know, have this New Mexico compound busted, links through a couple of people to the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's like it doesn't exist. Folks, some of our foreign policy has not worked, okay? We have done it in a way that has actually made the problem worse overseas. There's no question about that. There has been blowback. There has. There's no question. By the same token, though, there is a naivete that seems to be out there that the Muslim Brotherhood, the Al-Quds Force from Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, are just going to quietly sit there and not do anything. Folks, they have already infiltrated the United States of America. They've set up intelligence gathering processes. And I'm going to spend a show here in the future, one entire show, going through all of the evidence. Because if you believe otherwise, you do not know what you are talking about. You have not read Milestones by Saeed Kutb. You have not read the explanatory memorandum that was found in a secret sub-basement of Ismail Elbrasi. You have not read Reliance of the Traveler. You have not read Rules for Radicals. You have not read Disinformation by General Mihai Pachipa, highest-ranking defector to the United States of America. It is spelled out in black and white. It has been a strategy since at least the 1950s. For the Muslim Brotherhood, earlier than that, but the actual Sovietization of Islam and the combination of the two, the red-green axis, from the 1950s and 60s to now, and we're dealing with it. And so to kind of poo-poo that stuff and say, oh, it would stay overseas if we just left it alone, it's just not true. It's not true. The Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terror financing trial in the history of the United States of America, proves that that statement is not true. That trial identified the dozens and dozens and dozens of co-conspirators that were members of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood, the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood Palestinian Committee, etc., etc., and showed the organizations that were linked, directly linked. Why haven't we declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization? I don't know. It is. It is one. Hamas is a terror organization, and it is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. And folks, if you don't understand the ideology, okay? If you don't understand the ideology of Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam, the world at war and the world of Islam, if you don't understand that, you're not going to understand all the rest of this stuff. You're going to sit there and think that everything is going to be left overseas. And you're wrong. You are not just wrong, you are dangerously ignorant. And it's important. So I'm going to spend an entire show in the future just on the Muslim Brotherhood and all of the evidence, including the evidence of the infiltration here in Washington State, so that we don't have any question, any doubt about it. Okay, I'm going to read from the primary source documents. I'm going to read it in their own words and lay it out. And so a lot of people are going to say, why are we worried about Iran? Well, because Iran, to a lesser extent, although some argue they're more professional, has infiltrated the United States as well, has engaged in intelligence gathering operations on United States soil. And so these spies that were busted, just the tip of the iceberg. Folks, we need to understand the threat right now to Judeo-Christian culture. It's not just the left who is now aligning with these same terrorist organizations, okay? The Muslim Brotherhood in particular. And I've read some of the news reports on this show that that's the case. Specifically, that meeting in Germany that was reported on by the FBI, among others. Radical leftist organizations are joining forces with jihadists, okay? That is an existential threat to the survival of this country and our Constitution. We need to understand that. So when I talk about some of the things that are happening in the Middle East, it's not just compartmentalized over there. Which brings us to South Africa and gun confiscation. People said it would never happen in modern times. In a second world, let alone a first world country. And yet there was an order to confiscate 300,000 firearms. The Sidelander movement down there, people that are trying to hold on to their heritage, is growing massively because of the things that are happening in South Africa. Now, nobody talked about the fact that the ANC down there was linked to communists. Nobody talked about that. There was all this stuff in the media and all this political correct garbage. Nobody talked about that. And the errors of omission by the media today, I think, are what are the biggest problems. And why people do not trust the media. So let's move next. Let's move next now to Venezuela. Just as a reminder, 1,000,000% in inflation projected. Remove the zeros. That's going to solve the problem. Of course not. And that really, again, is a cautionary tale for all of us. Let's go to the national level. It's kind of national, but also European Parliament. Okay, this is coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Some people calling it a, quote, extinction level event for the internet. Members of the European Parliament have voted to approve new web copyright rules and regulations that have been described by a prominent privacy organization as an extinction-level event. It could lead, quote, to the closure of Google News. Well, not exactly. Some of the problem with what was passed by the European Union is that they want to tax speech, essentially. And it's going to create barriers of entry to the market for European startups. Well, that, it's bigger than European startups. It's normal rank and file people. How do you think alternative media has operated? That's what they're going after. It's exactly what they're going after. So we're going to keep our eyes on what is happening over there. But essentially, and this is the quote at the end of the article, under Article 13, everyone gets to play wholesale censor and every service has to obey their demands. Just sign up for a rights holder account on a platform and start telling it what may and may not be posted. Article 13 has no teeth for stopping this from happening, and in any event, if you get kicked off the service, you can just pop up under a new identity and start again. I told you they were going to come after the internet. They're coming after the internet. We need to have alternatives out there. We are working on them. We've got one already up. If you're interested in it, please send me a Facebook message. You can also go to real.video, Mike Adams. They're signing up 300 accounts a day, I think, last I saw. You've got Liberty Rush, Gab AI. I'm on all of them right now. Send me a friend request. And start looking into something called VPN or virtual private network. There are going to be ways around this stuff. And we need to be ready. We need to start preparing for it now. Because it's only a matter of time before they start coming after you and me. All right, on the national front as well. The deep state. Well, people said it wasn't real. Now the deep state is admitting, yes, they exist. For years, this was a so-called conspiracy theory. It's not. And by the way, conspiracy, I heard somebody say this the other day, it was brilliant. Conspiracy is the engine of history. People getting together and planning something in secret is the engine of history. And for those of us that have a degree in history, we understand that and know that. But also, those of you who are well-read know that too. And so when people start talking, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, you know, just, especially where facts have been laid out, intellectually, when people don't want to face something, they always try to find a way out and call them on it. Politely, but call them on it. And the deep state continues cracking down on Alex Jones and InfoWars. Twitter banning Alex Jones for life. All that's going to lead to is an alternative, because American ingenuity always finds a way. We got to start doing this stuff now, so keep your eyes on this. Next on the national front, I mean, where do you start with some of this stuff? So, a member of the mainstream media tries to say we should treat alt-right people like gangs, okay? Now, what's that? That's classic dehumanization. Classic dehumanization. And this is coming, you know, from people who are defending the media technology complex, the MTC. The media technology complex that is trying to control everything you see, everything you buy. And I talked about activity-based intelligence. This is what's coming to the fruition of activity-based intelligence. If you don't know what ABI is, go look that up as well. It's really fascinating. It's from the same people, right? So if they're starting to demonize one group of people and they're starting to censor one group of people, it is a logical conclusion that eventually there will be violence against that same group of people. Who's that group of people? That's me and you. That's people who believe in our Judeo-Christian culture. That's people who are constitutionalists, Christians. It's also people who are conservative in many different churches, from the Catholic churches to Jewish synagogues to Protestant denominations. And that's who we're talking about. And so it shouldn't surprise you that Antifa violence is on the rise. Again, threats to kill the president. And on top of that, to kill conservatives. And then a knife attack in California against a congressional candidate down there for Congress. And listen to this. I mean, nobody is talking about this. This comes to us from InfoWars, but Rudy Peters, who's running against Democrat incumbent Eric Swalwell, and if you remember that name, Eric Swalwell, he was the hyper anti-gun guy I talked about earlier this year, okay? So Rudy Peters is running against him, and this guy tries to attack him with a switchblade, fails, and is arrested. Where is it on mainstream media? An excellent question. But then Democrat Chris Coons says, quote, harassment or extreme tactics by leftists against moderate GOP senators are well justified. So now they're justifying violence on the left. Remember how patriots got accused of this. Remember that. But who is actually advocating violence? It's them. They're projecting onto patriots how they really are themselves. That's why they now have the advocation for something called the Red Army. Yes, the Red Army. This is on top of the Socialist Rifle Association. Go look this stuff up. Why would they be doing that unless they're going to go after the people that are being targeted for censorship now? Okay? Unbelievable. But true. And happening in our time. Now, some people say, I don't agree with every conspiracy theory that is talked about. That's not a conspiracy theory. I am citing facts. So if anybody says that to you, again, intellectually, if they want to avoid it, that's fine, but admit that they're intellectually avoiding it. On the regional front, a couple of things. First of all, coming from Ken Ivory down in Utah, this is great. This comes to us from Zero Hedge, but it is a graph that conclusively proves that forest fires, the problems that we have, are not linked to global warming. Okay, or what they call climate change now, because global warming wasn't working. It shows the number of acres burned back in the 1930s and 1940s. This was the era when we started putting watchtowers up in the mountains. We would send people on patrol. There would be fire watch, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, this is why it happened. Okay, this extended from the 20s and 30s all the way up into the 1950s and 60s. Then in the 80s and 90s, that's when these watchtowers started getting destroyed. Now, this is when fire burns were way down. All the way, and now they were way down from the 1960s to about 2000, and then it started to climb again. Well, what happened? Well, in the 1990s is when Clinton came into office. That's when a lot of the forest management went away, and now we're seeing it 20 years later, what's happening because of that lack of forest management. So, and you can see it on the graph. So it can't have anything to do with climate change, because the graph goes all the way down in a sharp slope from a peak, it looks like in about mid-1930s. Down to 1960. So it's a wonderful graph, but it conclusively proves these guys wrong. Also on the regional front, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that the Fourth Amendment actually applies to smart meters. That's a huge win. Also a big win for civil asset forfeiture opponents here in Washington State, people that believe it's wrong that a piece of property is named as a party on a court pleading. It's true. You can go look at it. The case is ridiculous. It's like DEA versus real estate or something, and whatever, you know. I mean, it's just dumb. Okay. But the Washington State Supreme Court ruled that you can get full attorney's fees if you are a prevailing party, if that property is actually yours but was wrongfully seized. You can get full attorney's fees. So that means not just for the action to get the property back, but every other action that led to it. So that's a big win on that front. All right, on the local front, manufactured hate, again, coming out of some people locally. Most of these people, understand, are vanquished political foes, okay? So you have guys that lost city council races, state senate races. They're vanquished political foes, and so then they decide to attack and slander, all right? Now, I've got information, and I'm going to be saving this for a future show. But suffice to say, this is related to the election that these guys are doing this stuff, okay? And understand something, too, that anyone who does that kind of thing either is a social justice warrior, a socialist, or is a sympathizer, okay? Because they're using a tactic from Saul Alinsky. And what they want you to do is go, oh, well, the Spokesman Review said that. I got to believe it. They want you to do that instead of looking at the facts. And so, for example, when the Inslander came out and said that I wasn't endorsed by the Washington State Veterinarians Association, PAC, when in fact I was, and I produced the letter, are they scurrying to retract? Absolutely not. So this is what they do, okay? They don't want to admit they're wrong. That's why people don't trust the media today. But also, you've got to understand the organizations that are giving them the ability to do this, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, putting people on a list arbitrarily, saying that because you believe the Constitution means what it says, you believe in the right to life, you believe in the right to bear arms, you're a veteran, you believe we should abide by the Constitution when we go to war, that those things are somehow hate. When in fact, if you really think about it, the principle used to be, and for me still is, and I hope for you too, that I would die to defend your right to say something I disagree with. Now, I want to put this another way. And this came from Dennis Prager. Prager, you had a great video up about this. Free speech exists to protect hate speech. I want you to think about that for a second constitutionally. Because who determines when something is hate speech? Right? That's the whole point behind free speech, that nobody could be the arbiter. That is an important point that came up. PragerU did that. It was great and profound. All right. Lastly, on the local front, coming up this weekend at the Clayton Fairgrounds, I mentioned it at the top of the show, going to be giving a Liberty State presentation tomorrow, I think around 3 o'clock up at the Clayton Fairgrounds. And then Saturday, be speaking around noon. A lot of good folks that are going to be up there. So look forward to seeing you at a taste of what's to come at the Clayton Fairgrounds. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everyone who has been praying for me, praying for Victoria, the show. Been a lot going on recently, and I really want to thank somebody in particular, and that is John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Readout, who right now, they are at AMCON Level 2 because of the hurricane on the East Coast, and they're monitoring that and helping people as they can. So send your prayers his way as well. I just want to thank him for just a wonderful job he's doing. What a wonderful patriot to take the skills he's been given and help people back here at home for the last few years. Just been doing a great job. And that's the briefing. But I do want to mention, if you've not heard this before, okay, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. You can catch up on the weekend on podcast. Well, my guest today is Dr. Jason Kinley. He's a naturopathic doctor and host of a national conference call with the Naturopathic Medical Institute and talks about all kinds of different things. And you're hold on to your seats. He's going to inform you today of some stuff that's happening here that's probably going to blow your mind a little bit. Dr. Kinley, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Representative Shea, for hosting me and having me on today.
Well, you know, I met you here a while ago, very impressed with your knowledge and just the way you could take complex issues and make them pretty simple, especially for us guys who need them made simple. But if you could, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. How'd you get involved in medicine?
So I got involved in medicine actually because of my wife. And we had run an organic community-supported agriculture program here in Spokane, actually, a number of years ago. And I was teaching at Mount St. Michael's, a small private school here, and running and designing some health courses for the school at that point. And my wife said, "Had you ever thought about becoming a doctor?" And I said, "But no, I have not thought about that ever in my entire life." And at this point, we had three children. And I said, "You know, I think this is kind of crazy. What are we thinking here?" And so we really sat down and started to explore the concept of becoming a doctor. I enjoy speaking about health to people. I enjoy helping them transform their lives and being able to really move forward in their life, especially because God gave us the gift of the human body. And based on fallen human nature, we gravitate towards what's easiest and most convenient. And we are now a convenience-driven society. So really, one of the things that I do by being a physician is helping individuals realize that some of the choices that might be easy have or can have very detrimental impacts long-term on your health. So trying to figure out how that plays in, and then obviously you have chronic illness, chronic disease, which can be manifestations of some of those problems. So, again, I got into this because my wife suggested it based on things I had already been doing. So we decided to go forward. We went through medical school. We had a couple more children while I was in medical school. And then after I finished, we had another one. So I have seven children currently. So I do see children by default because I enjoy them, and obviously I have a number of my own.
So you're practicing what you preach. I love it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we grow our own food, and we try to, you know, I hunt, and so I try to provide as much food for ourselves as we can and be as self-sufficient as possible.
That's awesome. I love that. And I want you to tell, you know, because obviously with that big a family, you have some idea of sickness, especially when it sweeps through a family. Tell the listeners a little bit about kind of your philosophy on that. And then also, if you could, talk about what's going on with the Spokane School District.
Absolutely. So the way that I look at illness, especially in children, is they're supposed to get some of the common bugs and colds and things because it's a training ground for your immune system. And so when children get ill early on, if they are healthy and they are without genetic concerns, because there are some people that are born with malformations genetically, whether it's misfolded proteins, they're missing genetic coding, et cetera, that make them more susceptible to a problem. So we're speaking really about the average individual. And when they're little children, if they're exposed to these microbes, the body begins to develop an immune system because it understands the good guys from the bad guys. Now, what complicates this picture is the food that we put in our body, the environmental toxins that we're exposed to. For example, a number of people don't think about this, but I see patients that in this area especially are in agriculture. And in agriculture, especially big agriculture, they're using chemicals to help maintain crop control. Well, if people don't change those clothes or take those shoes off before they walk in the house and they have little children, they're bringing that into their home and then spreading it around on the floors. Well, where do your six-month-old, your one-year-old, your 18-month-old children go? They end up on the floor. They're crawling around. They're picking stuff up off the floor. They may be putting things in their mouth. Those are normal childhood activities. If you're exposing them to regular environmental elements, dirt, things outside in nature, that's fine. Where it becomes complicated is when we expose them to these additional elements. So that then brings up the question for me of which things do we need to prevent, which things do we need to support in terms of illnesses, and which things do we just allow run their course? And this leads into vaccination. And so with vaccinations, the theory behind vaccinations is we give you a weakened or a dead or a piece of a particular pathogen. So chickenpox is a prime example. And when we give that to your body, your immune system should recognize that substance. It should then develop an immune response by creating an antibody, which is your white blood cell, your piece of your immune system that's designed by God to fight off an infection, and then it stores that as a memory cell, and it says, oh, if I see chickenpox in the future, I know what to do with it. That's how the theory behind vaccines work. Where vaccines have been called into question is around the safety by a number of physicians, and the group of individuals that are questioning this in the medical field are growing by leaps and bounds. Because not so much of the fact that we're attempting to create a passive immunity. It's because of what we are choosing to use when we inject this substance into the body. So, for example, when we look at a number of vaccines, you can read through the list through the CDC, and you will see the adjuvants or the additional ingredients that are in there. Now, the reason these adjuvants are in there is to stimulate the immune system to increase the response. Because if we go back to chickenpox, we're not giving you the regular chickenpox in its full strength, where your body would have seen it and it may have been temporarily overwhelmed. You broke out in a rash. You then end up fighting that off, and now you have an immune system. So because we're not giving you that full strength version, what we have to actually do is give you other things with it so that it stimulates that response. That includes formaldehyde, aluminum, and those are known carcinogens and neurotoxins if you read through the safety data from the U.S. government. Now, that's just the medical side of it. If we get into the ethical side of it, and this is where there are debates continuously happening, people point to, well, there's aborted fetal tissue in these vaccines. And so where's the truth in this issue? Are they using it? Are they not? And the question is, or the answer rather, is it depends. Not all vaccines will carry the aborted stem cell line. Many of them do, or many of them have been developed using human DNA through aborted stem cells. Now, the question is, where is the aborted fetal tissue? Is it from an actual baby that's been aborted or terminated pregnancy, and then they're using and harvesting that? And the answer is, again, it depends. A lot of this, and this is where the discussion comes in on the scientific end, is they are using embryological stem cells basically that they're creating in a laboratory. But for Christians, that is, God instills the soul upon the moment of conception. Therefore, it is a human life. And this is where science says, well, no, it's not a human life. So from the perspective of those who believe, this is an aborted stem cell line. And this is creating what a lot of doctors and scientists are beginning to question and study, problems in the immune system of many individuals. Now, why would that be? Well, if we go back to the theory of how vaccines work, we give you something, your body sees a foreign substance, it develops an antibody to the foreign substance. When we're using these stem cell lines, you're not getting one stem cell. You're not getting two stem cells. You could be getting hundreds, thousands of stem cells or more in a batch of vaccines. Now, when you have those stem cells, they're being fragmented or chopped up. When your cells rupture in your own body, which happens all the time, and that can happen through several different mechanisms. One is called apoptosis, which basically means it is a pre-programmed cell death. And it could be because the cell was damaged. It could be because the cell is old and worn out and the body's ready to replace it. That's a normal physiological process. It could be because the cell was attacked by something and damaged through a virus or through a bacteria, and the body's destroying it to clean it up to prevent further contamination and spread. But for those that are listening, if they have been to a rheumatologist and they have run what is called an ANA, an anti-nuclear antibody, that means your cells are exposing your DNA, your immune system sees your DNA, and is beginning to interact with it in some respect as if it were a foreign invader. So when we use this stem cell line that's been fragmented in a vaccine, we are now taking human DNA by the millions and injecting it into a human being as part of the substance, when we're asking specifically the immune system to see this and create a response. There are a number of doctors and scientists who believe, myself included, that this is contributing to an increase in autoimmune disease, which, if you look at the numbers, is on a massive rise. Thyroid problems, arthritis in children, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And we're not talking, you know, 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds. We're saying juvenile rheumatoid arthritis in kids that are 6, 8, 10 years old.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I actually brought this up to a lobbyist who's a Christian for a big pharmaceutical company. And I asked him if he knew about this. He said, oh, there's no way. And he went and he confirmed that that was indeed the case. He said his company didn't sell those lines, but that there were those lines that existed. And I think that brings us to the next part of this. Why is this important in understanding some of the changes in vaccine policy here locally?
So the reason this is important to understand is that people need full informed consent. In order to have full informed consent, you have to have this conversation with your doctor, your ARNP, whoever is discussing vaccines with you. A lot of the time, they're on a tight schedule, and they may not be able to give you all the information I just gave you on how a vaccine works. It's important to understand that because now Spokane Public School District is planning in the month of October to have free flu shots at the schools. Now it's optional. Okay, so this is important to understand. It's a complete decision and it's open for discussion, and the parents are not required or obligated to do this. And that's the way it should be. However, because the parents are not with that child at school, we are asking the school and this group that they are bringing in, that's a national organization, I believe it's called CareDoc, to make sure that they monitor the children, that they get the correct child, they administer a vaccine to the correct child. And while that seems like that should be a slam dunk, no problem, there have been reports around the country that are in mainstream media. Whether you agree with mainstream media or not isn't the point. Huffington Post has had them. And what happened was children have been, who were not supposed to be vaccinated during these free clinics and free vaccine offerings at these locations. There are plenty of places where you can get free vaccinations. If that's what someone wants, in my opinion, they don't belong in the school district. That's a conversation you need to have with your physician, with your nurse practitioner, whoever it is you want to see. They don't belong there. So I asked the Spokane Public School District, because they put this out on their Facebook page, if they would allow me to simultaneously hold a free clinic, because it's a taxpayer-funded institution, which means that's where my tax dollars are going, even though my children don't go there, that I want to go and be able to make sure that I provide information so that if parents have questions, that they can come and ask me. And the response that I got back from the school district or from Spokane Public Schools on their page was, well, you're free to do it at your place of business if you would like, even though that was not the question that I asked them. So this is important because they are pushing, they being lots of different organizations and entities are pushing for vaccine to become a mandatory policy. When we're seeing larger rises in autoimmune disease, we're seeing larger rises in diseases that we cannot explain, and chronic illnesses that used to belong in the generation of essentially the elderly. Type 2 diabetes is a prime example. Rheumatoid arthritis is another example. Those diseases were primarily considered to be diseases of the elderly, and we are now seeing them in children. Are vaccines the end-all, be-all cause? Absolutely not. Are there other contributing factors? Yes, there are. But my concern as a physician is that somebody makes a mistake in one of these situations, it could be very detrimental to that individual and that family. And I know because I've seen and treated vaccine-injured individuals. And when that happens, it's not a, oh, it's a week long and you're done. Some of these individuals have been going on with some of these problems for years. And it's finally starting to catch up in the conventional literature. It's starting to catch up in mainstream medicine, but we're not there yet. So until that happens, I do not believe that these have any place in your schools as a clinic. And if you're listening right now and you have a parent, I would call and complain to your schools that they're offering this, or suggest that they allow me to come in, because I've offered to come in and be right alongside them and offer the information for free. I'm not telling you don't vaccinate. I'm saying that if that's your choice, that's your choice, because I don't want to impose restrictions on medical freedom. But I also don't want someone to be on the receiving end of a medical intervention with a medical error in a situation with a minor who is not supervised by their parent. As
yeah, I think
myself, that's a scary situation.
It is. And having all information is always a good thing, I think, you know, in making decisions. It always is, especially for parents. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the FDA 503 update that we discussed actually before the show and some of the kind of weird policies that we see and some of the possible implications as well.
Okay. So FDA 503. They had a hearing today in Washington, D.C. I think this was technically yesterday. They've had ongoing hearings. What this is essentially saying is that they're going to move some of these substances. They're classifying them as compounding agents and whether or not someone can compound. Now, what this really applies to are doctors, ARNPs, naturopaths, primarily, who may be using some of these things as medicine or to help other patients. It's not necessarily going to affect the individual consumer immediately. We have some questions about this, and we don't know how it's going to affect you long term. So, for example, there's a list of what they call Category 3 items, and these Category 3 items are not judged worthy of a hearing and will become illegal to compound automatically once they go through and finalize this. The list currently stands at 253 items. I was relaying to Representative Shea earlier that my favorite one on this list is organic vegetables. That is correct, organic vegetables. So if I compounded a salad for a patient, based on my understanding of the law at this point, that would actually be illegal compounding. as a physician. Other things that are in here that people may be familiar with, you have copper, you have chromium. So for diabetics, if somebody was for some reason compounding chromium for you with potentially a berberine, berberines have been shown in the research to reduce blood sugars. That would now be illegal. You would no longer be able to do that. Ginger root powder, grapeseed oil. And again, this list goes on and on and on. Melatonin. What else is in here? Mullein. So the mullein plant that grows everywhere that's considered a weed, those of us that use it in medicine, now it would be illegal to compound that for a patient. Why is this a problem? There are a number of these products that exist and are on the market currently that many people are using safely, effectively, and are helping their treatment. Some of these products are even being prescribed by medical doctors or doctors of osteopathy. If and when this is done, which right now it's all it's going to take is they have to finalize the hearings and they sign off on this, the implications will be that as a physician, the medicine that I make, I can no longer compound in my office for my patients. And this is where having Representative Schaaf be in the state legislature here in Washington is so critical. Why do I say that? As a naturopathic physician, in my license here in Washington State, I am allowed to compound and make medicine for my patients. That is in my license, my scope of practice. So now we're going to be pitting the federal regulation against the state regulation. Because my state says I can do it, but the federal government says these products are illegal for me to use. If somebody out there is a nutritionist and you wanted to tell your patients, well, you should have this, and you gave them a sample in your office of you put some organic vegetables together, somebody could, in theory, say that you are compounding without a license. This is just insane. This, again, is overreach by the government to come in and limit personal decision-making processes on how and why we get to choose our own individual health. And in order to understand that, you have to go back over 100 years to understand how we got to where we are in medicine today. And it involved big money and the merger of pharmaceutical companies, and it happened with John D. Rockefeller. And he owned Standard Petroleum, which was making petroleum-based pharmaceuticals at the turn of the century. And he also helped bankroll the American Medical Association. And when the American Medical Association was going bankrupt, he is the one who bailed them out. And because of his financial interest in his other company, he was able to merge the two, and we've never been able to split them since. And this is all documented. You can read all about it.
No, it is. And I think it's just, it is fascinating history of how that all happened. If you get the chance to talk to some of the listeners out there, where could they go to talk to you? Where could they go to find out more about you and also more about some of the things that you're talking about, especially on the vaccine side of the house?
So on the vaccine side of the house, Informed Choice Washington is an organization that you can find out here locally if you're in Washington State. If you're out of state, if you're in Idaho, you can check out Informed Choice Washington. They can help guide you. I know Idaho has an organization. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name of theirs. That's where I would start. If you haven't checked out ICANN Network, that would be Del Bigtree, which I know he's been on your show before. Look up ICANN Network. That's another great resource. You can personally find me here in Spokane, Mountain View Vital Medicine. And my office number, if you wish to give me a call, is 509-565-7005. I'm on Facebook at Mountain View Vital Medicine, and I have a website, mountainviewvitalmedicine.com, all one word.
In the last minute we got left, if you had a message to young folks, what would it be, especially on these issues of health? Because it seems like when you're young, you really don't care. You know, I remember, you know, going to the Army, and they were sticking me every which way with vaccinations and everything else. I didn't really care, right? What would you say to young people today?
What I would say to young people is find a good naturopathic doctor and start care now, to set up your health in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. the number of patients, especially young women, who are put on oral contraceptives early, and we mean in high school, and they're on them because their cycle's irregular, and they end up with problems in 10 years, and they can't conceive because we have messed up their cycle by putting them on these artificial hormones. And so really find a good naturopathic doctor or any good doctor that you're comfortable with that you will go to on a consistent basis to help teach you about these major decisions that we think are routine. And that includes the use of ibuprofen, Tylenol, Advil. If you look at the damage to kidney and liver that is not talked about, especially when we're looking at high school athletes, those medications are implicated in a number of those young athletes that will end up dying suddenly during practice.
Well, and I think that's very good advice. I really appreciate you being on Patriot Radio with me today, Dr. Kinley. And I hope that some of the folks listening will give you a call and start down the right track.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dr. Jason Kinley here on Patriot Radio. And again, if you want to get a hold of him, you can wait until this podcast goes up and get the number, or you can just message me on Facebook and I'll make sure to connect you with him. I want to end the show. I was trying to get confirmation that the story had broke that I wanted to share with you. I have not been able to get confirmation, so I'm not going to talk about it today, hopefully next Tuesday. May God bless all of you. And really, if you get the chance, do some self-introspection and confess and get right with the Lord. And let's all get on the right track as a body of Christ.